We have to see it not as belonging to us. The tables, the chairs, the TVs, these things, they don't belong to me. I have to think of it like that. This belongs to God. This is not mine. This is all nothing. If God says, if you work for a man, you live in his house. If you're a servant, even a hired servant, not necessarily a slave. Let's say you live in a man's house and you're his butler. You sit in his chairs, you enjoy his things, but you can't consider those things yours. You're there by employment. We also are in the Lord's employ. But as sons differ no more than servants when they are young. Though. And that's why what I'm saying is, though we be sons, we differ nothing from servants. Until we inherit, it does not belong to us. We are like servants. We are like children. We are in a father's house under obedience to our father. We are like children. That's how you enter the kingdom, by being like a child. Teach me. How do I enter in? Show me the way. Make me. Raise me up like you. I want to grow up into you, Dad. I want to grow up into Christ. Like our big brother. Because that's what he's like, our big brother. Our forerunner. He is the firstborn among many brethren. And bringing many sons to glory. He forsook all. But for a time in his life, he had a home. And he had a family. And so, for a time in our lives, it can be the same way. You gotta understand, it's not the instant we prepare ourselves for our critical moments in life. When those changes come. You know, I expect to truly inherit the kingdom of God, someday I'm going to have to turn my back on what I have. And I try to remind myself of that all the time. Because the things I'm fighting so hard to possess, mortgage payments and so on and so forth. And you don't want to lose the house. And you don't want to, miss your payments. And you got to pay this and pay that and electricity and this and that and the other. And you're laboring so hard for all of it. Like this rich young ruler. Or that's what he's usually called. But this wealthy young man is, he has earned all this probably, or inherited or whatever, but he's worked hard in it and for it and to organize, keep, and direct it. And it is in our lives, we do so much for the trappings of earthly existence. We labor every day to feed ourselves and to build up our houses and leave an inheritance to our children and so on and so forth, that we begin to be consumed by it all. And if we're not careful, we will be consumed by it all and we will fail to enter in the kingdom of heaven. It's hard enough to get a camel through the eye of a needle, but it cannot go through laden with the worldly possessions and the goods. And that's how usually they teach it. It's that it's not a needle like a tiny little needle, but a little door that is meant just to put one person through at night, like in a gate. They'd have a little door and they call it the eye of the needle. Okay. To me that sounds possible. And I'm sort of at a loss to explain then why the disciples are amazed beyond measure. To me, it's not so important. The message is clear that we cannot, if you were to pull a camel through the eye of the needle, the only thing that would come through is the camel. All the goods, everything that could be packed on would have to come off. And so the things of life, the things we love about life, can oftentimes be the largest barrier to our entering the kingdom. And that's why it's so difficult for really anyone to be saved. Who then can be saved? Because we want to have our religion as part of our lives, not as an enemy of our lives. But that's how Christ comes to us, as the enemy of our life. He's the enemy of our life in this world. Lose your life to save it. Save your life and lose your soul. That's the message of Jesus Christ, that you must lose your life in order to gain eternal life. You've got to live a life of sacrifice. When he says, you've forsaken all, you're going to receive a hundredfold brethren and sisters and houses because they belong to other people. It's only in a sense of a spiritual house, a spiritual brother, a spiritual land. You'll see lands. Jesus, the foxes have holes and the birds have their nests, but I have no place to lay my head. The whole world is my house, so to speak. You know, wandering in caves and dwelling in the barren places of the earth. He had a lot of land. It all belonged to him. Wandering the roads. You know, it's like if I were to wander, imagine to wander America on your feet and to just be, it's all mine. You've got lands. You want lands? I'll give you lands. It's all yours. With persecution. You know, children and lands and mothers and sisters and brothers. With persecutions. That is the Christian way. We've got to forsake the one to gain the other. Many that are first shall be last, and that are last shall be that. A lot of things do not turn out the way men expect them to. I thought he would be first, but no, he's last. Jesus is also in a parable where he paid the workers their wages for the day. He started with the last to the first. And the first thought they should have been paid more because they'd been working longer. But they got the same thing. Verily I say to you, you have your reward. If you value the things of the earth, then you have your reward. If your life is so much worth so much to you, then have your life. But your life, you can't add 1 second to it. And you have only what's coming to you. I mean, if my life ends tomorrow, I may be sad, but it's truly all I had coming to me. It's all I had coming to me. I pray rather that God would be merciful and not give me what's coming to me, but to deal graciously with me. That's how the last become first, by grace. Because the grace of God is the only way that the last could be first and the first could be last. That's not fair. Shouldn't the first be first and the last be last? God's more than fair. He's gracious. If God was fair, we would all just be destroyed. But he's more than fair. He's gracious. He's good. And that's what this statement has to do with, is the graciousness of God, how he is gracious to those who are undeserving.